Welcome to Better Health Guy Blogcasts, empowering your better health. And now, here's Scott, your Better Health Guy. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness or medical condition. Nothing in today's discussion is meant to serve as medical advice or as information to facilitate self-treatment. As always, please discuss any potential health-related decisions with your own personal medical authority.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 129 of the Better Health Guy blogcast series. Today's guest is Jody Levy, and the topic of the show is Biotoxic Rx. Jody Levy is the founder of the Lab Elemental Milk Cleanse, Neuropraxis, and soon to be Mycome Free. She's also the co-founder of Watermelon Water. Jody has quietly been suffering from symptoms associated with Lyme disease, mold illness, and a slew of co-infections and related imbalances for over 20 years. Now she's fully recovered and living her best life. She feels strong, healthy, pain-free, and proud of her discoveries. She always knew that she could not expose her struggle until she was able to share the solutions that helped her get better. In her unwavering belief that her journey was bigger than herself, she's now committed to creating simple and easy products that people can use to relieve their suffering and thrive. For years, she was committed to understanding why she was always exhausted, in pain, puffy, blurry, and foggy. No one could figure out what was wrong with her, but she was relentlessly determined to understand why she did not feel well. She set out on a painful and tedious journey to find solutions to help herself and others feel happy and healthy. She always knew that if she stayed the course, she would find the tools that would help her and ultimately many other people. She spun a web of the most exceptional doctors, scientists, researchers, practitioners, and healers who all played their part in her epic recovery. She tried so many treatments, she mapped her genetics and her entire body. She was meticulous about how she recorded her treatments, protocol by protocol. She tracked and cross-referenced her short-term and long-term results. She tried things that nearly killed her, but when they didn't work, she would get right back up and try again, because she knew intuitively that she was going to discover the things that would help her and others like her return to vibrant health. During this process, she was optimistic, but she was also skeptical of everything. After years of treatments, she questioned if she would ever arrive at an answer, and she finally succeeded. She healed herself of Lyme disease and mold exposure. She got rid of co-infections and the agonizing symptoms of viruses and parasites. Her mental commitment, psychological anguish, and massive financial investments paid off. She got herself better. Her test results came back clean, her brain had cleared, her vision got crisp, and her mood balanced. Today, she's working to bring all of these solutions to as many people as she possibly can so that no one has to suffer the way that she did for as long as she had. And now, my interview with Jody Levy. You and I have had some mutual acquaintances, but really only recently met. And I love that you're working hard to bring new tools to the Lyme community, to the mold community. Really wanted to have you on the show today to share your journey and some of the tools that you found helpful in your own personal recovery with our audience. So thank you so much for being here today, Jody.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
It's an honor. Let's start with your personal story and how you arrived at a place of wanting to help other people improve the quality of their life after their own dealings with things like chronic Lyme disease and mold illness. Tell us about your journey. I know it's a very lengthy one.
This is actually one of the first times I've talked about my journey, so bear with me if I get a little slow or a little welled up. But so I grew up in the Detroit area and in a suburb of Detroit, and did not really have any like Lyme or tick awareness at all. And I went to school in upstate New York at a place called Skidmore College that had these amazing woods behind the campus. And so like every day we were in the woods. I was an art student and I have a degree in painting and fiber arts. And like, we'd leave the studio and we'd go in the woods and do things we weren't supposed to do and like just run around and hang out. And now like I think about it in hindsight, the way that I am when I'm in upstate New York which is like delicate and careful. And I wear my white socks to make sure I can see things crawling on me. And I mean, I knew nothing. So I went home after my first year. I ended up getting really sick. I love music. I've always loved music. So I was sort of like, that's when like the dismissing kind of accused me of living the wrong lifestyle. And that's why I need to, like, that's how I'll get better started. My parents, I went to my dad one day and I was like, Dad, I don't feel good. Like, something's not right. I can't think straight. And he's like, Jody, stop going to abandoned warehouses all night long and dancing the music and coming home at 7 a.m. Like, of course you don't feel good. But ultimately, a couple months in, I ended up in the hospital. And I was diagnosed with like Epstein-Barr and mono, which is now we now know are precursors. And I was fine. I'm always fine, right? But it was sort of the beginning of an 18-year journey that included me living an amazing life. But I would look around at the people around me and I worked really hard. I had a couple companies. I was traveling all over the world. My clients were all over the world. And I would see people and like life was easier for them. Their bodies, when we would be like climbing up a mountain, it was easier for them. It was more fluid. And so I would just watch and like mentally, I would feel edgy and I would feel impatient. And I had these characteristics about myself that I didn't love. I'm a pretty like self-aware person. And I just started to realize that like something was different. And so I kind of committed to trying to figure out what was up. And every time I would go to a traditional Western medical doctor, you know, they'd be like, oh, you're the epitome of health, right? Your temperature's low, your heart rate's low, this is great, you're awesome. And I was just like, oh God, like, okay, cool, I'm awesome. Maybe I am just stressed, right? Maybe I should stop dancing and drinking my green juice, you know, until the sun comes up and whatever. And so 18 years later, after really trying a lot of things, but kind of quietly, you know, I was using nutrition to stay balanced. I had like all these tricks. And so much so that in business with my clients, I'd have a notebook, I'd have my cell phone, I'd have an email, and I would write things on the inside of my wrist just because I would forget them and thought that was normal. So one day I really realized that like I had created a system for myself that wasn't normal and sort of doubled down on what's really going on here. And I was in Denver visiting my sister and I looked at her husband, my brother-in-law of many years, and I couldn't remember his name. Like it was just, there was nothing there. And it was this like tangible, like, okay, this is not normal. And that's when I decided to put all of my tools as a CEO for my companies into my wellness and took it out of everybody else's hands. And I was like, I'm going to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting. It reminds me of the time that I ended up sitting in the back seat of the car and just looking around wondering like, how do I make this thing go? And I knew that something was wrong, that there was no driving the car from the back seat, but like, why was I in the back seat? You know, those kinds of moments where you're like, okay, something cognitively just isn't right.
Yeah.
So ultimately, as I recall, you dealt with both Lyme disease and also mold illness in addition to the EBV and some of the other things that you mentioned. In fact, I think I read somewhere that you had 14 vector-borne related microbial overgrowths. Is that right?
That's true. So yes, I figured out that I had exposure to toxic mold and learned everything there was about mycotoxins. And, you know, like, first of all, I mapped my entire body. I mean, I went and saw everybody. I sent parts of myself everywhere. I mean, I laugh that like, you know, there's a bit of me across the planet. And my Dropbox is, I'm waiting for the scientist that's like, what is this? It is so impeccable because I did everything one step at a time. And I tracked what happened, right? And so I had, like many people, negative Lyme tests for years. And then, you know, I did some experiments and I went on some biofilm buster for like way too long, probably just because I bought too many of the supplements and I just kept taking them because like, what else do you do? And then I retested after my fourth test and these results came back. And then the mold results came back. And then, you know, it's also like I was catching up and science was catching up. Like we didn't have, you know, the urine test. We didn't have the knowledge about the mycotoxins. We didn't have the understanding that fungal growth can continue to perpetuate in the body. So as this stuff was, you know, like expanding, I was like, hold on a second. Like, let me in that little rabbit hole. So ultimately I, in addition to my like normal daily biohacking, nutritional balancing, I went to Hawaii for like a week with this like extensive, you know, mold protocol in my back pocket and a bag of stuff. And I did it for a week, which is funny because it's like the moldiest place on the planet. And I ended up staying for like 3 months. Had the best time, was outside all day long, and I lived on this very extensive mold protocol. Meanwhile, I'm running several companies. I'm doing my thing. I'm like up at 3 a.m. because of the time change to the East Coast, you know, raising money and building stuff, and nobody knew I was sick. And then somewhere in that time frame, I finally got the positive Lyme results back. And did the same thing, kind of like came back to the States, did a bunch of different things, and ultimately went back to my roots, which was a study and understanding of Ayurveda. And so years ago, and I was probably already sick, and it was probably one of the entry points for me really becoming fascinated with the human body and balance to our environment, I started learning about Ayurveda, and it was like, you know, those things in life where you just like, you start to dabble, but you're so fascinated that it takes you. Like you want to understand the details and you want to go deeper. That's how Ayurveda was for me. So I started looking at like the base constitutions and the concept of balance of all things in life, right? And there's been times where I forget that. I think we all forget that, especially when we have like a diagnosis or a result that tells us that there's something that we're supposed to associate with bad, that's supposed to have like a fix, right? So it's like someone has mold, so they should do this, or somebody has Lyme, so they should take this. And the truth is, it really is all about balance, and no two things work the same for anybody. So as I was like meticulously mapping my body and trying all of these different protocols, and some of them were, you know, very Western and some of them were very hubbada hubbada and everything in between, I was tracking how I felt during, how I felt after, how like impeccably. And it wasn't until that experience in Kauai where I was on the mold protocol, starting to think about how I was going to treat Lyme, starting to think about how I was going to get back to my optimum like state, that I really tuned back into the idea that the human body is, you know, an ecosystem that has to always be in balance. And at this point, very few people knew that I was sick. I mean, I went through a long period of time where I was living in New York City, running my businesses, and I would leave the office at like 2 p.m. and I'd go to one of the many doctor's offices that I went to, and they'd put me in a closet with like an IV drip in my arm. And I'd be like on conference calls and making products and, you know, like talking to investors, like in the closet of my doctor's offices, you know, because I never let it get me down. And more importantly, I didn't want anyone to know what was going on because I didn't know if I'd get better.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wish we had known each other years ago. We both have been through this journey now for about 20 years. I think we were both, at least my perception is type A overachiever perfectionist type personality.
You calling a perfectionist.
So definitely a lot of things there. And I love Hubbada type interventions over the years. I think those are some of the ones that have helped me the most. So it's pretty amazing. Yeah. How many practitioners would you say that you ultimately worked with or collaborated with? And I know it was more than practitioners. You work with scientists and healers and so on. And then tell us about some of the things maybe that you tried that didn't really work well for you that led you to this CEOing of your own health.
So I've never actually thought about how many people I've worked with. I'd have to give that some thought because my superpower is connecting dots and connecting with people. And so the same way that when I'm creating a product or I'm learning about a topic, or it's like where I hit my flow state, you know, it's like I sort of surrender and then people come in. And so there's all these like guardian angels, and I actually look at every single one of them with like the biggest gratitude, because every single person was a stepping stone, or I learned something, or it led to something else. But I mean, there's been hundreds of people. And as I've like walked into these offices where I have always been much more of a, what's the right way of putting it? Like, I would walk in with my full energy, you know, laughing, and I was going through hell. I mean, they were taking blood out of my body and they were putting lights in my veins. And, you know, I was just excited to like, okay, number 7, UVLRX. It's like one of 3 machines in the country. Like, I would into it as like a lifelong learner. So I tried to make the best of it. And every single patient that I met that was sitting there with PICC lines and like just desperate, all of them were equally as impactful. Cause I was like, I know that if I endure this and I get myself better, I can help other people get better. It was the only thing that kept me in it.
The gratitude for the experience, the gift of the experience. I mean, I'm not going to say that my journey was not a huge struggle, but I wouldn't trade it in for all of the things that I got as a result of it, the people that I've met, the things that I've learned, the perspectives that I've gained. And so I do look at it as much as it was a struggle. I do look at it as an amazing gift as well, and an amazing learning experience, you know, going through it for as long as we both have. So part of what you've done in putting together some of the tools is creating this biotoxic RX that includes the milk cleanse, the lab elemental milk cleanse, the neuropraxis work, mycomy free. And so while I don't ever do podcasts to push a product or to be commercial, like, I'm really excited about these tools and I want to hear more about them from you. And I'm really excited that you're creating these things. The first one, the milk cleanse, or the lab elemental milk cleanse, that came into my consciousness recently on a podcast with Dr. Linda Lancaster. And I'm really excited. That was a fantastic discussion that I had with her. So tell us a little bit about this whole, the idea of a milk cleanse. Like, most people are probably thinking, well, my doctor says I'm not supposed to be on dairy. And then what's the intended goal of it? Is it for parasites, like many people think? Is it for Lyme spirochetes? Is it for something different, or maybe for both of those things?
So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to back up a little bit and tell you my story and hopefully answer some of your questions. I have to be super cautious about what I say about all the products, because I tend to be very cautious as like somebody who makes food and beverage and supplement products. But let me tell you my story a little bit related to that, and then I can answer that more specifically. So as I was kind of like deep in my process, I met this guy. His name is Dave Sokolin. He's also our partner. And he came up to me at a party at one of my best friend's house. And he was like, hey, I know nobody's supposed to know what's going on, but I know what's going on. And I've got this thing for you. And I'm like, you know, dealing with my anger that like someone has seen a kink in my armor, right? And he was a very sweet, sweet, gentle soul. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you know, I've got this. And I'm really good friends with this woman. Her name's Dr. Linda Lancaster. She's been doing this milk mono diet parasite cleanse for years, and she helps people like you and I. And I was like, biggest eye roll of my life. Like a milk diet, like you want me to do Panchakarma, right? Going back to Ayurveda, like, okay, you know, but I was also at the point where I was like listening to his story and he's like, I was sick forever and I am thriving and I feel amazing and I did everything and I was on antibiotics for years and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, I've done way weirder things than this. Let me meet this Dr. Linda, right? So I'm introduced to Linda and we become like immediate soul sisters and we have lots of laughs and I send my blood in and she, you know, sends me this kit back. And it's like, I traveled with it around the world for months. I mean, I had this thing like literally in my pocket, like just, you know, kind of like, it was like ever so often it would peck at me. And I had talked about it a little bit with some close friends and they were like, oh, there's some camel milk. You should try the camel milk and this and that. And so I went to Hawaii, which I told you about. I did this very extensive mold protocol, which I've now simplified. And I came back and I still wasn't feeling great. I was feeling better, but I wasn't feeling great. And I pulled this kit out of my bag and I was like, all right, I've drank things that I shouldn't have drank before. I can drink goat milk. So for 8 days, I drank only goat milk and I took Dr. Linda's supplements and I went through it. I mean, it's a proper cleanse and it's a proper fast. You don't really get hungry because milk is the perfect balance of protein, carbs, and fat. But you know, when there's things in your system that are being pulled out because the milk acts like a magnet, and the supplements help kind of move it through your system, you know, you go through stuff. And I also believe there's a bit of a limbic looping. There's an association with the brain also that plugs in, which I'll talk through after. So on day 8, after I was in Denver with my sister, and by day 3, I was like, all right, things have sort of moved through me and we're climbing mountains and we're working out. She's like this amazing fitness instructor. Day 4 and 5, you know, I was like, this is weird. Like, why do I feel so good? And day 7, I was like, oh my God, like my body just feels different. Like I'm not in pain. My joints are like limber and moving. Day 8, my sister looks me in the eye and she was like, I haven't seen you in years. My brain was clear. My vision was clear. I had like this, it's hard to explain, like there was like this layer of edgy, impatient, like sassiness, not like my good, funny sassiness, but like the uncomfortable sassiness that, you know, really comes from being that like in that weird kind of state that many of us know, gone. It was just gone. And I picked up the phone and I called Dave, the guy from the party, and I called Dr. Linda and we got on a 3-way conference call. And I was like, this is incredible. How long will it last? And they're like, it'll last. I mean, you're going to want to do it for maintenance and prevention. But like, you're going to feel good. And I was like, let's turn this into a product. Everybody has to have access to this. And they were, you know, wasn't quite so like, yes, just a yes, but it was like a yes. And so we set out and we were committed to turning the milk cleanse into a product that anybody could have access to at any time.
And so my understanding from talking with Dr. Linda was that it potentially can be helpful with parasites, but then when we think of Lyme disease and spirochetes, she actually thinks of those more as worms or parasites when we're talking about Borrelia. And so are people that are using the milk cleanse seeing benefits both from a parasite perspective and a Lyme spirochetosis perspective?
Okay, so I'll tell you two things. One, I highly recommend that everybody listen to your conversation with Linda. She can say a lot more than I can as a practitioner on the topic. But this is the milk cleanse here. You'll notice that our mission, which is on the product right here, is a percentage of every kit sold goes towards the prevention and treatment of Lyme disease and tick-borne illnesses and parasites. Beautiful. And the reason for that is because everybody that's involved in this, so Linda, myself, Dave, our COO, Nora, like the list goes on, all of our partners across the world have all used the Milk Cleanse. This is the new form, but from Linda, and it has had incredibly transformative effects. So I knew that Linda couldn't take on the world, right? She only has so much bandwidth as a super hands-on practitioner. And so we came together to turn this into a product that could be accessible to everybody. And like I said earlier, you know, wellness and a wellness intervention like this is a great like reset, but every single person's different. And so I'm not here to say, okay, the Milk Cleanse is great for everybody. I think the Milk Cleanse in conjunction with other things that people do is a highly effective tool to maintain balance. And no, I don't drink dairy, and many people avoid dairy. And I understand that, you know, dairy creates inflammation. In this instance, for these 8 days, you're using the full fat animal milk as a magnet. And so like you would other types of non-everyday interventions, you have to think of it like that. It's like an 8-day tool, and we're using the tool for a very specific function. And when it's over, there's a phase two, which lasts about 2.5 weeks, and you return to clean nutrition, and that recommends no dairy.
Yeah. And I wouldn't bet against Dr. Linda being able to take on the world. She's a pretty passionate and amazing lady. I love her to death. So let's talk then about the milk. So you mentioned goat milk. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between A1 and A2 milk. So my understanding is cow dairy is A1 milk. It's more inflammatory. But when we get into things like goat and sheep, for example, that's a different genetic line that's producing that milk, and that's actually not as inflammatory as cow dairy, for example. So talk to us a little about the types of milks people can use. And you mentioned camel milk. So could someone do this cleanse with camel milk if they wanted to?
Yes. So some of the best advice that Dave gave me when I finally did my first milk cleanse, he was like, treat the milk like a wine connoisseur. Get every kind of milk you can find, mix it up, try everything. And I did that. And I happen to really only drink goat milk. For me, as you said, goat milk and sheep milk is the closest thing to human milk. And so it's a lot easier for a lot of people to digest. I also have used like organic cow's milk. If I'm on a milk cleanse and I go to a coffee shop, I'll have somebody, you know, I'll have a coffee shop like steam a milk for me and put a little cinnamon on top or something like that. Makes me feel slightly normal every once in a while. But I also come from the food and beverage industry. So I started to look at who was out there, and I have a friend that has a camel farm, and he ships frozen camel milk. And I don't love camel milk personally, but it's incredible. Like, there's all this science, and I'm not an expert on camel milk and claims, but I have seen some really interesting articles about the relationship of camel milk and resetting the gut microbiome, especially in autistic kids. Apparently there's like, I live in Colorado right now, and I just heard that there's a water buffalo farm in Aspen, and you can get water buffalo milk. So Nora, our partner and COO, and I are sort of geeking out on that. We're waiting for our water buffalo milk to come in. And you know, one of our dreams is to kind of have this like marketplace where we get to feature all the cool farmers around the country. And we had a girl recently who she wasn't feeling well for about a year and a half. She knows that she was bit by a tick. She had some results, and she thought that the milk cleanse would potentially help her reset her body and get back into feeling really healthy. And she is like straight up lactose intolerant. So she made the decision to do this anyways. And she actually rented a goat, and she had the goat with her in Maine. You can see some of her stories on our social media. She's amazing. She did the milk cleanse. She used almost exclusively the milk from her goat, her borrowed rented goat. And 8 days later, I mean, she is thriving. She's so happy. She feels incredible. She didn't have any issue with the dairy. And it's like, it's one of many stories of kind of a dairy intolerant person that got really into like her goat, her milk sourcing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So tell us a little in the box. So obviously the milk is not in the box, but what you right. have in there is the Formula One, Formula Two, and the Herbal Colon Builder. So tell us a little bit about the purpose of each of those different products.
So during phase one of the milk cleanse, you take our Formula One supplement every 2 hours. And it's a combination of cayenne pepper, cranberry, slippery elm, and it works in conjunction with the milk. One of the things that's really interesting as it relates to many people's experience with dairy is that often it makes them like a little phlegmy and it makes them break out. And when you look at that from a like an Ayurvedic perspective, it's milk is cold, it's cool, it's damp, it's wet, right? But because our pills have a heating effect, it balances it in the body. So a lot of people don't get that effect while they're taking the supplements with the milk. And then the Herbal Colon Builder. And then the second supplement for phase one is called Herbal Colon Builder. Easy for me to say. And people take two twice a day or sometimes three times a day. That's what helps keep things moving. So as the milk acts as like a magnet in the gut, it's important to keep things moving through the digestive system and, you know, exiting the body. And then during phase two, when you reintroduce clean nutrition, you continue taking phase one and you add in the phase two supplements, which help to nourish the stomach lining and help to further move everything out of the body. I'm going slowly in my words because I'm trying to be very careful about what I'm saying about the product.
And is that the Formula Two then that's part
that
of phase two?
That is the Formula Two, yes.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, this whole idea of using milk as bait is really interesting. Obviously, Dr. Linda has done this for a long time. I think she talked about it coming from her mentor, Dr. Hazel Parcells, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Dr. Klinghart has used this in some of the protocols for something called ropeworm that came from Dr. Gubarev in Russia many years ago as a way to kind of pull the bugs out. And in treatment of Lyme disease, for example, he does something similar using hyaluronic acid to also kind of be like a bait for then whatever other antimicrobial herbs and things people are doing. So it's a really interesting concept. Now, in terms of the length of the cleanse and what people experience while they're mm-hmm. cleansing, so you mentioned the first 8 days, and then that's when you're doing just the milk and the supplements, and then another 2.5 weeks where you're bringing back in some healthy food and things like that. You're not limited to the milk. Are you still doing milk at all? No, you're not doing milk at all in phase two. Yeah, okay. And then tell us a little bit about, you mentioned the one lady that had a great experience that rented the goat.
Yeah.
What are some of the other experiences or feedback that you're getting from people that are doing the cleanse?
So people do the milk cleanse for all different reasons. And the people that have been drinking milk, as I like to call it, they'll do it 2 to 4 times a year. And they do it to like give their gut a break, give their metabolism a break, you know, give the body a break. So I do the milk cleanse a lot. I love it. I honestly feel better when I'm on full fat goat milk than I do and anything, except my sister's like a gourmet chef. So there's a little, you know, fight with myself that I have. I get on like day one of the milk cleanse and I feel like I am flying. It's like a gossamer string up and like total grounding down. And I have crazy energy. I'll work out like all day long. I'll dance for hours. It's incredible. And now that we've launched this product, all these people who have been doing the milk cleanse for decades have come out of the woodwork and they do the same thing. Like sometimes they'll do it to just tone their bodies. Sometimes they'll do it to kind of reconnect their brain and clear their mind out of fogginess. I have people that have had mold exposure that do it to kind of give their systems a break and like call. It's very calming and very peaceful. A lot of people do it for like a gut reset if they're struggling with candida. So it's incredible. Like we kind of brought this to the world because we all had very similar experiences with these compounded biotoxic imbalances. But what we realize is that a lot of wellness experts, executives, like badass humans around the planet, do it just to tune and like get back to their true selves. And that's one of the most exciting parts of the storytelling.
So one of the common scenarios in people dealing with Lyme disease or mold illness is they're taking 50 different supplements, you know, 200 capsules a day, all kinds of tinctures and this and that. So do most people, when they're doing the milk cleanse, do they stop their supplements and medications? Are there certain things that people, let's say thyroid medication, for example, is that something that maybe people can stay on and still benefit from the cleanse? What kind of guidance would you give in terms of reducing the other things that they're doing?
So first of all, and I'm saying this because I really mean it, not just because I have to say it. If there's somebody that's on that level of protocol, that person should talk to their medical practitioner before they do this. And we're totally available to talk to medical practitioners to help them understand what's best. So I'll tell you, for me, I go off of everything with exception to my thyroid medicine. And I've had a couple people that are on, you know, like hundreds and hundreds or whatever, lots of supplements. They go off of all their supplements, especially all their herbals, but they do still take medication. So it really depends on the person. Most of the people that I know go off of everything just because it's all about the, you know, the ecosystem in the gut, and you really don't want any other ingredients participating in what's happening than the supplements.
And would those initial restrictions, would that be for the 8 days, or would that be recommended for the 8 days plus the 2.5 weeks?
I honestly don't know what to say. For me, on this personally, for phase two, I usually reintroduce some of my supplements.
Okay, beautiful.
And then once I'm done with phase two, I go back to my normal protocol. But I also feel so good when I'm on it that it's, you know, I'm like a living, walking experiment. So I kind of like that I get to, it's like a metronome of what I feel like.
Have you found that over time, since you've done this now several times, that your need for other supplements and supportive interventions has reduced?
Yes. So I, if I have mold exposure, I know how to supplement back to balance. If I have some other type of biotoxic exposure, I know how to balance that. But now I'm at a point where it's more spot treatment than anything else.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
All right. So that's the first of three parts of your biotoxic RX that we're going to talk about. It's really, really awesome. So the next one is one that I'm also very excited about. And I have personally done a lot of work in the limbic system and vagal nerve realm. And I think that that's really critical to help these kind of getting out of these limbic system trauma loops and so on. So the other tool that you've introduced is NeuroPraxis, which is in the realm of neuroplasticity. It's incorporating Lisa Wimberger's work, which is called neurosculpting. And so tell us about your personal experience that led you to finding NeuroPraxis and getting so excited about it.
Okay, well, so I was feeling amazing. I had done the milk cleanse, and there was about like 6 months had gone by since my first milk cleanse, and I still felt awesome. I felt better than I had in many years. And I stepped in as the CEO of one of my businesses, not even really sure if I could, based on like, was it going to last? Am I going to feel bad again? You know, but I did it. And for about 2 years was just rocking and rolling. And we were doing our thing, and I was focused on business and living like my best life, right? But I was dealing with excruciating back pain. And I kind of accepted that it was just my body. Like, that's just who I am. Like, you know, I, like many people, have a gnarly MRI, and I played sports when I was a kid and probably, you know, like did X, Y, and Z, right? And then my sister got pregnant with twins, and she had twins, and there's these babies, and I'm carrying babies, and I'm putting babies like in and out of cribs. And I'm like, this is not okay. I'm in like a lot of pain. So I went to some big sports medicine guy and I'm like, all right, stem cells, you know, whatever, like saws, I don't know, just fix it. I'm done with this, fix it. And this journey led me to a bunch of different people and PT and this and that. And I went and saw this guy and I'm on his table for like 11 minutes. And he says to me, you don't have physical pain. And I'm like, ah, oh, what? Are you telling me my pain's not real? What are you talking about? He's like, no, it's real, but it's neurological pain. And I am so offended. I mean, I am like, you would have thought this guy stole my child. And so we have a brief conversation and he's kind of like a gruff, you know, New Yorker. And I leave his office just appalled and irritated and frustrated and sad because I'm like, this guy thinks that like my pain is in my head. Like, I don't know. I don't even understand how that could be possible. Like it hurts so badly and it's negatively impacting my life. And then there were a series of synchronistic experiences that happened that afternoon where a dear friend of mine, who's also one of the guardian angels in the wellness space that I mentioned earlier, randomly texts me and she's like, you have to check out this paper. There's all this new information about how the neurological system is being triggered by stress or PTSD or even like sensory inputs and triggering symptomology that isn't coming from an organism. And I was like, huh. And I look and it's all about neuroplasticity and limbic looping and like their neurological pain system. And then a couple hours later, my phone rings and someone else is like, oh my God, you have to check out this woman's work. Her name is Lisa Wimberger. You're going to be obsessed with her. So I'm like, this is weird. Okay. I get it. I get it. I'm paying attention. So I go on Amazon, I order her book, like New Beliefs, New Brain. And I'm like, I'm not going to learn about brain repatterning from a book. So I get on the Google and I go deep and I find her email somehow. And it was not easy. And I write her this like dissertation. It's like a college acceptance, you know, essay. And she calls me like that day. And she's like, hi, I'm Lisa. I got your email. And I was like, hi, where are you in the world? I figured somebody had said to me, I think she's in Europe. So I'm preparing to like go find her. She's like, I'm in Denver. My neurosculpting institute's in Denver. And I'm like, I'm in Denver. And I get in my car. I drive a few blocks and she and I meet. It happened to be Halloween. And I walked into her office in a hand crocheted white unicorn onesie. And which is, you can imagine, a little disarming. And we have like a really great laugh together and immediately we're like sisters. And so I learn a little bit about neurosculpting, which is this amazing program that she developed out of her own survival from these incapacitating seizures that she was having where no doctor could help her or understand what was actually happening. So she invented this protocol, this five-step process that allows her through a guided meditation very efficiently to open the prefrontal cortex, connect the left and right brain hemispheres, and enter into the midbrain and help an individual get out of that trauma pattern or that stress response. So I did four sessions with her, four 20-minute meditations. I recorded them. I did each one a couple times. My pain disappeared.
Wow.
Like it has never come back. This is a year and a half ago. So I'm on an airplane one day, and I used to spend a lot of time on airplanes before the world was taken by a global pandemic. And I sat down and I was like, you know, before I was in this world of creating food and beverage and supplements and stuff like that, I've always been designing experiences. And like ever since I was 21, creating apps and software, hardware systems, custom for large scale environments and whatnot. So I was like, you know, we could create an app where we take every symptom I've ever heard anyone have, whether it's from Lyme or mold or viruses or co-infections or And like little things, like I remember I used to go home from treatment in New York City and the lights would hurt my eyes so badly that I would wear my darkest sunglasses and I'd just be like crying under these sunglasses because I had to see how to get home, but I couldn't, like it was unbearable, right? And some of my friends had like rashes from things that they would eat or smell. And I just took everything I'd ever heard from anybody and outlined it in these two sections, in it and beyond it. So in it being, you know, acute, active insanity, beyond it being prevention and maintenance. And I organized everything into the same categories, plus a section called the feel goods, which are like 5-minute, you know, quickies. And I called Lisa and I was like, I think we should make an app. And like going to the gym, you know, every day or 4 times a week or whatever it is for whatever person, it's a practice. And people can use it to reset their brains, or they can use it as a spot treatment, for lack of a better word, when they're having anxiety or when their stomach is upset or when, like me, there's light sensitivity. And biotoxicity will be our first library. And we'll launch it, and people that, like, you know, have the stuff that I have can use it. And it'll be beneficial in addition to the, whatever else they're doing, whether they're on antibiotics or they're drinking milk or they're wearing a frequency device, it'll help. And she was like, great. And so we went into the studio for 3 days and she recorded 75 hours worth of modules. And so we were building the app and we were preparing to launch the app. And COVID happens. And so we're thinking like, okay, we just built this whole library for this tiny little subset of people that are, you know, like me, like the 25% of the human population that has like a weird HLA type, right? And all of a sudden, the whole world is dealing with the fear of, threat of, or survival from this virus, this biotoxic thing, this invisible thing around us. So Lisa and we have a third partner who does all of our design and programming. His name is Eric. We put it up on a web app and we were like, let's just get this to as many people as we can. And so right now, if you go to neuropraxis.com, you can subscribe online. The entire library is there. It's so easy. It's like 5 to 15 minute guided modules. I do it while I'm riding my bike. I do it while I'm walking. I do it while I'm sitting in my sauna. I just do it while I'm doing other things. Some people use it as a meditation. And I'll have pain in my joints or I'll have like some weird thing. There's a lot of smoke in the environment here right now. There's some weird triggers happening. I'll find a module that's resonating with what's happening. I'll do it once. Or I'll do it once every day for a week, I never look back.
Yeah, so I will admit that I have used it while doing a coffee enema, if that's helpful.
Good.
For people.
Perfect.
Do you generally think that people should use headphones, or is it okay to have your speaker a few feet away and as long as you hear it, or is it important that it really is in the ear?
No, I think it's just important that you sit and go on the journey.
Okay. And then when we look at limbic system rewiring, when we think about things like the parasympathetic nervous system, there's a lot of interest now in ways to calm the vagus nerve. Would you say that it's affecting all of those things, or is it more targeted on the limbic system? What's the scope of what it's trying to help support?
It's affecting all of those things. And actually on our site, there's a page called Wisdom. And there's a bunch of links out to some of Lisa's work and neurosculpting and vagal toning. She does all of it is encompassed in the same body of work, but sometimes she'll do some specific like vagal toning for people that really need that connection of the vagus nerve. But it's addressing the entire system.
Beautiful. Yeah. Would you say from what you've observed that most people that are dealing with a biotoxin illness like Lyme disease or mold illness have some degree of limbic system involvement or would potentially benefit from some type of neuroplasticity work? And then what role do you think that stress and trauma play in these conditions that we experience?
Well, so now that I am deep in this, you know, it's like, I had this like random idea and Lisa and I are both like overachievers. And all of a sudden we had this body of work. Right. And to be totally honest with you, like I'm out there spreading awareness about neuropraxis because it's had such an efficient, profound effect on my life. And literally everybody that I give it to, I mean, there's people that are really afraid of getting COVID that use it just in terms of like balancing their own psychology and fear, right? There's people who have all kinds of viruses and infections and stuff that use it. And they're like, they get better and they get out of that loop. So I have to understand through the science and then through the firsthand experience of the feedback that we're getting, it's making people's lives so much better. Like they're not in that, they're getting out of their old stories.
And that's interesting too, because I think getting out of the story is a critical part of moving forward. Unfortunately, so many people are so attached to the story that it becomes almost impossible to move away from it. So I love that it's helping to support us letting go of the story, not being the illness. Maybe we have an illness, but we don't necessarily have to identify with it, take it on and hold on to it so strongly.
I agree with that. And I think that I'm also a realist about like making things super simple. Like there's other bodies of work that address neuroplasticity and brain reprogramming. I just like that the expectation, I remember years ago when I was like really getting into meditation, which I love. I mean, obviously anything that's going to relax my sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system is healthy, right? But it's not reprogramming the brain. And I remember I was in like a, somebody gifted me this meditation course with this amazing human. And I'm in there and he said something that some people listening will probably recognize. He was like, if your brain goes to something else, if your brain goes to thinking about the email that you have to go compose, let it go there. Because the email that you're composing while in a state of meditation is going to be that much better than if you didn't meditate. And so just do it, think about it, and then like let it go and go back in. And it was very liberating. And I feel like our modality is really made for like when you're sitting in the bathtub or when you're on your bike or when you're walking or when you're doing your dishes. Like there's no, it's not like go sit down and spend 2 hours doing this exercise. Like it's just like turn it on and let it sink in. And sure, when I have my earphones in and I'm sitting on my couch, it's probably a little bit more present than if I'm riding my bicycle or if I'm just have it on a speaker and I'm moving through my kitchen. But either way, it's helping, right? It's helping to repattern.
And those of us that were clearly type A plus personalities that are now recovering type A minus personalities certainly appreciate the efficiency of multitasking in our healing process, right?
Totally.
So would you say that for people to get the kind of optimal benefit from this, is it something you would recommend doing like one program a day? Should people do it a few times a week? What's the sweet spot?
So again, it goes back to like what's realistic. So for the people that go to the gym 6 out of 7 days a week, they understand that that takes a real commitment, right? And neuropraxis is the same. You're training the brain and conditioning the brain to be in an optimal state. So I'm a realist again on time because I don't have that much of it. I try to use neuropraxis like 4 to 5 times a week. When I am not going through anything specific, I use the Beyond It section. And sometimes I'll just hit a feel good and, you know, do something. There's one called Glow. That's my favorite. And it's just like this feel good kind of like big energy body resonance. It's like, you, it is what you make of it, right? For somebody that's a little less hubbada hubbada than I am, it's just more of like a current.
And you are glowing, by the way. So.
Oh, thank you. it's all the milk. But if I have something that comes up, so if I have something going on in my gut, or if I have some pain in my joints, like I mentioned, my sister's a pretty hardcore fitness instructor, and I work out with her a lot, and she beats me up in the best kind of way. And so sometimes I'll even do a neuropraxis for body and bones, where I'll just like really focus on my joints and my bones. And if I'm having some pain, I'll do it for the same module for a whole week. And I'll just give that, you know, area of the body that much more focus.
Beautiful. So your next project and the third part of this biotoxic RX is what you're calling myco me free. And so many of us, myself included, that at one point finally identified chronic Lyme disease, later learned that mold illness was such a big part of the picture. And quite honestly, I think for many people dealing with Lyme and co-infections, the mold and water damage building illness is probably more significant than the Lyme and co-infections. And so talk to us about myco me free and how that kind of rounds out this biotoxic RX trifecta.
So I totally agree with you. And it's also the more challenging of the three, but it's in process, which is exciting. So I'm very lucky because I have always worked from anywhere that I am. So I'm a bit of a global nomad and my work takes me all over the world. And, you know, I've got like my suitcase and I've got my toiletries and then I've got my entire little biohacking, you know, case with me. Most people don't live like that and aren't comfortable like that. So when I've been on mold protocols, I can just make it work because I kind of control my daily schedule and my whereabouts. But most people can't do that. Over the last couple of years, a lot of people will connect other people to me, right? They're like, please, like my brother-in-law has been in bed for 3 years. Will you please talk to him? Or I would accidentally mention my like healing journey on a podcast. And then I'd be like, you know what? Cut that out. I can't actually share these solutions yet with anybody. Let's not put that out there. But then the podcast host would be like, I beg you, like my brother's been sick for this many years, please, please help, right? So like everybody's one degree away from somebody that needs these tools because there's so little understanding. One of the things I realized as I was talking to these people, because I love helping people, was that the mold protocol that I do is completely not realistic for most people. Like, I'm like every 20 minutes, there's an input or there's an output or there's a binder or there's something that's like, you know, nourishing. And so I totally simplified it. And I created there's three packets, one when you wake up, one between breakfast and lunch, one between lunch and dinner, and one before bed. And Scott, you and I probably would customize ours a little bit because our knowledge base is more specific. But for the person that doesn't know that much, that doesn't have access to a highly specialized team of practitioners or experts, and that knows that they've had exposure, clears their environment, but doesn't necessarily know how to clear their body, it's for that. Or I really have formulated it for like, I will use it if I walk into a space. So I'm like a mold sniffing dog. Like I don't smell it, but I can feel it on my skin. And I'm like, I can know exactly what's where because I'm sensitive. I'll use it, this exact protocol, if I have a little bit of exposure, or if I rent a house, you know, like on the beach in LA or something. And I'm like, uh-oh, it's perfect for that.
So is the focus to help with the toxicity side or the mycotoxin burden that we get from water damaged buildings? Or is it also, you mentioned earlier, this idea of colonization, which is still debated even in the mold practitioner community. When we constantly inhale things like aspergillus from our environment, can we colonize with those in the sinuses and the gut, for example? And thus, when we move to an environment that's completely pure, we can still have this mycotoxin production production factory in our bodies. And so is it also helping with that potential of colonization, or is it more focused on the toxicity aspect?
It's more focused on mycotoxins and the immediate toxicity. Beautiful. I think that the topic of colonization is something that is more of like you and I can geek out on. And as everybody learns more about it, understands it more, there will be more and more science. But I also think that that's a more advanced treatment that somebody really needs to be under a practitioner's care.
Right.
And the intent of Mycome Free is to be more like the Milk Cleanse, where it's a supplement to our day-to-day lives that we can control. And I still think that everybody should be working with their practitioner to understand if all the ingredients fit 100%. With everything they're on.
Yep.
But it's a bit more of like a light. You know, it's like, it's mold treatment light.
And I know this is your current project. I personally have been drooling to get my hands on it at some point here soon. So when do you think Mycome Free will be available for people?
I'm hoping that in like Q1 of next year. So both the Milk Cleanse and NeuroPraxis were delayed and launched during COVID. And things in the world of supplements are crazy right now. And that's... it's hard to get super clean ingredients. There's ingredient backups. There's a lot of people that are taking supplements to bolster their immune systems and their wellness, which is great. So I'm sort of in that like surrender to the process mode, but
no, it's hard. I mean, some companies, even getting bottles to put the product in has been a challenge, and getting labels. I mean, it's amazing how much the whole process has been delayed because of all the supply chain issues. Yeah. So this has been a great conversation about these three new things that you're making available, the Milk Cleanse, the NeuroPraxis piece, the Mycome Free. When you have someone that you're connected to that's dealing with the microbial burden of, let's say, Lyme disease co-infections, for example, are there some tools that you found helpful? And if someone comes to you today and they say they're dealing with Lyme, or maybe you are starting your own journey over again, what would your toolbox look like?
So I'm going to separate all of the products from my personal health journey for the sake of, you know, protecting the companies and any claims. One of the best parts of having these companies now is that it's not the best part, but I actually can't really talk to people about any of their sickness because it would be beyond the scope of legality, but I can tell you my story. And there's a couple things that I share with other people when it comes to like the successes. There is a frequency device that I think you might be familiar with called the Wave device from Free Medica. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine called me at the end of last year when I was describing to you that like crazy back pain I was having. I assumed that my Lyme had been triggered. I have no idea if it was or wasn't. Like, I discovered Lisa and neurosculpting and started doing these amazing like limbic repatterning modules, and my pain was gone, right? So I did do a Milk Cleanse at that time, made me feel amazing. I didn't have any herxy reactions to it when I did it. But then I, after all of that, I started wearing this device. And it's a device that uses energetic frequencies. And it has been programmed. There it is.
I knew it was here somewhere because I literally wore it 90 minutes earlier today. And I'm like, what did I do with it?
And I love it. And so anybody that calls me and is like, what should I do? I'm like, okay, do the Milk Cleanse. It'll give you like a great reset. Start to do NeuroPraxis as often as you can and really focus on like pinpointing some of the things and get the Wave device. And the way that it's programmed is there's the initial 90 days, the first 30 days is detox, 30 through 60 is programmed specifically for like the library of, infections and co-infections related to Lyme's disease. And then 60 to 90 is this like cellular reprogramming. And I have now tried over the years, it's like, I've got Rife machines and copper paddles and I've got all these weird things. And I can say maybe some of them did X, Y, and Z. This was the most immediate like positive hit. I mean, the first 30 days that I was on the Wave device, my sister called me Bugs Bunny. Like, I was just, I have a lot of energy to begin with, but it was like triple time. And I tend to respond to things in a more positive way than a negative way. So if things don't work, they just don't work. They don't really take me down. I don't let them take me down. But but when I went on the Wave, and so now I have it and I just use it. Like if ever right now with the smoke, I notice I'm putting it on a little bit because I feel like I want my cells to have a little regeneration, but I love it. The other thing that I really love is phosphatidylcholine.
Had a tablespoon this morning.
Yeah. And there's the IV drips that I get, the pushes that I get. If I'm in a more acute state, or if I find out that I've been in an environment with a lot of mold, that's one of my go-tos. Like I'll do, you know, 8 to 10 treatments over a couple of weeks of like really good quality phosphatidylcholine. And that helps me quite a bit. I really rely on clean food. You know, I am very particular about what I put in my system. And so that's clean nutrition is a big part of kind of how I balance in the day to day.
So as we start wrapping up, I wanted to ask you, what hope can you offer for those people that are still struggling with conditions similar to what you experienced?
So I think for me, the thing that set me free from feeling really hopeless, and because I spent many years hiding behind my smile and pretending everything was fine and it really was not, when I realized that there was never going to be one thing, one protocol, that the same thing was never going to do the same thing twice or three times or four times. And that life, whether you're like us or you're a marathon triathlete, Olympian, everything is about balance. And so the minute that I really let that sink in and realized that every system that makes up the whole of my body, and that's physical and emotional and psychological, and energetic, that was in a constant state of balancing and rebalancing, and that I can do things that make me feel amazing and I can do things that make me not feel amazing, but that it's okay. It's just these subtle tweaks and tunings. That was the ultimate freedom for me. Because I took the pressure off myself of, oh, I'm going to do this thing and, you know, I'm going to spend all this money and I'm going to do this thing and it's going to make me better, but then it doesn't make you better. Right. Or I'm going to do this thing. Oh, this one's going to save me. It saved her, but it doesn't save me because it's really about me. You know, like what I eat isn't going to be the same thing that you eat. What I do for fun isn't going to be the same thing that you do for fun. Right? What I do for fitness isn't going to be the same thing for your body. And so I invite everybody to just recognize that, like, of all the things we've talked about, I hope that everybody uses them, tries them, feels amazing with them. And it might be in conjunction with the stuff that you're doing or other things I don't even know about. And it's just about that, like, constant, you know, balancing of our environment in relation to the environment around us.
I love that you use the terms balance and imbalance more so than illness or battle or war, that it really is just what can we do to kind of find balance again. And I think a lot of times if we can remove those significant things that are creating imbalance in the body, the innate capacity of the body to heal is immense. And I think we forget that sometimes. I think we have to solve every single problem. And in my experience, fortunately, that's not the case. We just need to enable the body to do what it was designed to do.
Agree.
Yeah, beautiful. So this last question, it's the same for every guest. And I think you've already essentially answered it, but maybe you can think just what you're doing, you know, currently. What are some of the key things that you do on a daily basis in support of your own health?
I dance like every day. a lot. I sound and the balance of sound and sound systems is like one of the most important things to me. So I try to make an effort to like have a proper dance party every day. It's sort of
in 129 shows. I think that's the first time someone said dance. I love it.
I mean, listen, I make my smoothies and I eat my healthy shit and I take my supplements and I sit in my sauna and I work out with my sister and I do all the things. But the single most important thing that kind of keeps me, my mind, my heart, my body, like really, you know, in myself, in my true nature, is my connection to music and movement.
Beautiful. That's awesome. Yeah. I am so excited to have had you on the show today. I think like many of us, your journey, your pain has become your passion. Your mess has become your message. I love that you've taken, you know, all the things that are your gifts and creating businesses and pulling people together and all of that, and now applied that to helping other people to minimize their struggle, to improve their health. It's just such a beautiful thing. And so I honor you. I'm very excited about the tools you have available. I'm also excited about the upcoming Myco Me Free and probably many other things that you're going to do in the future. So thank you so much, Jody, for being here with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's like, it's really nice to be able to share my story with somebody who understands it at so many different levels.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
To learn more about today's guest, visit jodydlevy.com. That's Jody, J-O-D-Y, D, Levy, L-E-V-Y.com. jodydlevy.com. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a positive rating or review, as doing so will help the show reach a broader audience. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you can find me there as Better Health Guy. If you'd like to support the show, please visit betterhealthguy.com/donate. And to be added to my newsletter, visit betterhealthguy.com/newsletters. This and other shows can be found on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Thanks for listening to this Better Health Guy blogcast with Scott, your Better Health Guy. To check out additional shows and learn more about Scott's personal journey to better health, please visit betterhealthguy.com.